Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Last Sunday was the last Sunday of Christmas. So we now turn the page to read what comes next. Now, according to the assigned reading, the assigned gospel reading for today, from Luke's gospel, the third chapter, we find Jesus being baptized as a fully mature adult, a 30-some-year-old man. Now, the Bible barely breathes a word about the life of Jesus in the early years of his life, in the wonder years of his life, other than that one story in Luke's gospel where Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem and ended up astounding and mesmerizing the rabbis of the temple. Other than that, there really is nothing more to be known about what happened to Jesus between the ages of 13 and 30. So today, our liturgical calendar points us to today being the baptism of our Lord Sunday, a time to ponder the significance of that event when Jesus stepped into the Jordan River and was baptized by John the Baptizer. In addition, today, the baptism of our Lord Sunday is an opportunity for us to reflect on the meaning, the significance of our own baptism. Now, there are many theological doctrines and many teachings about baptism, about holy baptism. One of them is that it is a way for us to understand that baptism marks our unity with the church and Jesus' ongoing ministry. That's one way of understanding what baptism is. It's the starting point. It marks our union, our communion with Jesus and fellow believers, the church. Now, as a reminder, in the sacrament of holy baptism, it is important for us to remember that it is God who acts, not us. Yes, we're doing all the acting, the dunking, the pouring on of water, but it is God who acts, freeing us from the power of sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God is doing all of that on our behalf, not us. You see, as descendants of Adam and Eve, we are born children of a fallen humanity. But in the waters of our baptism, we are reborn or born again as children of God. Again, God does that. We don't. Born as children of God and made inheritors of eternal life. So by water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church of Jesus Christ, which is, we know as, the body of Christ. Now, as reborn or born again children of God, and in unity with the body of Christ, the church, we made several promises before Almighty God at our baptism. Now, you may not remember, when you were baptized as an infant, you may not remember at all what were promised made, what vows were cited before God and the body of Christ. But we made them. We vowed and we promised to first to faithfully come to the services of God's house. Then we promised and we vowed to learn the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, the Ten Commandments, and to study faithfully, diligently to study God's Word, the Holy Scriptures. Then we vowed and covenanted to live in our baptism and in communion with the Church of Jesus Christ. A person who has been baptized and decide to go without the communion of the church ought to rethink of what they promised at their baptism before Almighty God. And lastly, we promised and we vowed to lead and to live godly lives until the day of Jesus Christ. Those are the simple but very weighty promise and vows we made at our baptism. Now, you say, well, I didn't make them. I was an infant. Someone made those vows on your behalf. And then hopefully you had an opportunity to affirm those vows on your confirmation day. So baptism, dear friends, is a point of beginning. It's the launching pad, if you will. It's not an ending. That's why people ask me all the time, why do we confirm our confirmants in the fall? Everybody else does it in the spring. And my simple answer is this. I don't want the confirmants to think that they've graduated from church. We do graduations of school graduation in the spring, do we not? Because baptism is the beginning, not the end. We start in the fall. That is why in this congregation, in every congregation I've been a part of, we confirm our confirmants in the fall. Because they begin their membership in the church, not end it. They have not graduated from the church. They're just starting out. As such, baptism serves to remind us that we are to follow in the footsteps of Jesus as his dirty feet disciples. Y'all remember that? We did a whole study on what it means to be a dirty feet disciples of Jesus for one Lenten journey. It is to be that disciple who followed the Lord Jesus Christ so closely that the dust from his feet falls on yours. That's, you can't get any closer than that in following Jesus. So as his dirty feet disciples, what are we to do? How are we to be as baptized children of God? Well, I'm sure that you've heard it said by others, and certainly you've heard it said by me often, that we live in a fallen and broken world. From the day of Adam and Eve, and from their when they fell from grace in the Garden of Eden, having sinned, having rebelled against God, the world as we know it has and continues to suffer the consequences of their sins, to suffer the consequences of their disobedience. The world as we know it continues to suffer the consequences of their failure to heed God's commandments. So, as a result of this sin, of the failures, of the disobedience, things in our world, systems in our world, people around us, and the world around us are broken. Fails. The world around us, therefore, is hurting. And what's even more true and continues to cause the brokenness and the hurt in the lives of those around us, in those around the world, is the attitude that Stephanie was talking about. The attitude or the state of mind that says, it's not my job to fix the broken world. It's not my job. It's not my problem. Somebody else will need to take care of it, not me. Those attitudes, those mindsets, and I dare say those heart sets, oftentimes does more damage than the brokenness itself. So, as we read in the gospel story this morning from Luke chapter 3, when Jesus was baptized, something magnificent happened. When Jesus was baptized, God, the Holy Spirit, descended upon him, anointing him and commissioned him for his life's work. Now you may say, well, what did God commission him to do? Well, what God commissioned Jesus to do at his baptism was to fix, to repair, and to restore what was broken by sin in the world for which God so loved. And he was to fix, to repair, and to restore the brokenness of the world by sin, even if he must die for it. Yes, at his baptism, Jesus was commissioned to love others, even those whom their fellow man deemed unlovable. Jesus chose to love others. He was commissioned by God himself through the power of the Holy Spirit to confront the religious and political leaders who fostered a corrupt system that kept people in poverty. He was commissioned and sent to teach and proclaim the true good news of the kingdom of God and not the kingdom that those charlatan priests, high priests, and Pharisees falsely taught the people. Dear friends, fellow baptized members and believers in Christ, I'm here this morning to remind you, to remind us that when we were baptized, God also commissioned us to join with Jesus in fixing, in repairing, and in restoring the brokenness around us. If that is not what you signed up for, I wonder why you got baptized. Because that is at the center of what it means to have been baptized as in Christ. To fix, to repair, and to restore the brokenness around us, if not throughout the world. Now, we do that. We fix and repair and restore the brokenness, not so that we can be saved, but because we are saved. That's why we do it. It isn't making points or banking our points in heaven. It is because your God has made it possible for you to be saved. You don't got to worry about that. Gentiles and heathens and pagans do, but not the baptized children of God. That is in the bag for you. Your salvation is made. Now you have all the time in the world to fix, repair, and restore the brokenness in the world around us. That's the charge. That's the commission. That's what Jesus laid out. And that's what he begs us, asks, and invites us to follow him with on. What does this mean for us then? Well, friends, as an example, when we encounter people with mental illness or narcotic addictions, when we meet people or families who are homeless and walk our streets, we cannot And we must not say, it's not my problem. Because it is. Because Jesus will never say that. When we realize that we are poisoning our water system, that we are polluting our air and attacks our lungs, we cannot say, it's not my problem. Because it is. Sooner or later, it will be your problem, our problem, and we can't say it that it isn't. And because Jesus will never say that it's not his problem. When bigotry and hatred and racism prompts deadly action, deadly riot, deadly persecutions of others, we cannot say, it's not my problem. Because Jesus would never condone such actions, nor will Jesus ever say that it's not his problem. When someone we know is ill or lonely or is grieving, when someone we know is has somewhat given up in the world, you can't say, call Pastor La. Well, you can. But you can't say, it's not my problem. Because Jesus would never say that. When violence in our cities, in our states, in our countries become rampant, we of all people cannot say that that's not my problem. Because violence begets violence. And besides, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, would never say it's not my problem. Yes, when refugees flee for their lives and seek asylum and safe haven in our nation, we cannot say, it's not my problem. Because Jesus and his family themselves were refugees into Africa in his early years. He will never say, that's not my problem, because he's been there. He knows what it's like. You see, friends, once we have been baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and baptized in the name of Christ Jesus, we are joined at the hips, as it were, to the ministry of Jesus. You can't shake it off. You shouldn't shake it off. You promised. You made a vow before God and the whole congregation. We are joined at the hips for the ministry, to the ministry of Jesus. We are now agents of healing and restoration in a hurting and broken world. Now, I get it. I fully get it. I'm fully aware that some of the problems, the issues, the brokenness we encounter are complex, difficult. Many of them are just simply overwhelming. They are often beyond what any one person can fix. However, nothing will ever happen. No change for the better will ever take place if we don't alter, change our mindset and our heart sets. See, when we encounter a need, our first thought cannot be, it's not my concern. Someone else needs to take care of that. That should not be our first response. And when that happens to be your first response, this is an opportunity to challenge yourself and ask and say to ourselves, perhaps there must be something that I can do. There must be a way that I can help. And then pray on it. And when the Lord God guides you, leads you to doing what he is calling you to do, do it in the name of Jesus. For the Lord your God has made this promise to you, to us believers in his son Jesus, saying through the prophet Isaiah, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Right there should give us peace, knowing that we don't have to try to please God so that he will take us, that he will love us more. You're his. He paid a precious price for you and for me, which was the death, the body and blood shed on the cross by his son. God said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you over. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Therefore, do not be afraid, for I am with you. You see, when we are baptized, we join in the ministry of Jesus, the ongoing ministry of Jesus, which is to fix, repair, and restore the brokenness caused by sin. And we join him in restoring and in bringing healing into a hurting world. Now, I know that none of us can do everything, but each of us can do something. So know and trust that God has commissioned you at your baptism for vital work in his kingdom. And I pray that may you know the word God has called you to do. And may God give you the strength, the wisdom, the means, the inspiration and the compassion to do them well for the glory of his holy name and for the sake of a hurting and broken world. Amen.